morning, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. And today we have with us Brianna Podnett. And she has had lots of life experiences, and she's going to tell us about them on this show. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that what we do today is glorifying you and sharing with people who need to hear a message, and that we have compassion as we go through life and see our brothers and sisters in Christ. And hopefully we want to help them. So here we are. Brianna, welcome to Christ Today.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Let's go ahead and start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so my name is Brianna Hodnett. I am originally from Oroville, California. Growing up, life wasn't easy. I had five siblings starting out, and my mother and father were in and out of prison. My mother for drugs and prostitution. My father was serving a life sentence for attempted murder by the time I was three. I didn't really have too many influences around me, positive influences. And so I was going through life not really knowing how to make the best choices, I guess I could say. By the time I was 12, I was addicted to crystal meth. I found myself not going to school, not doing any of the things that a child should be doing. By the time I was 13 years old, I had met these guys who promised to protect and provide for me.
How did that go?
It didn't go very well. I believed them at first, and that was the problem. I believed them, and I trusted them, and I went with them, only to find out that they were pimps who eventually forced me into prostitution.
At an early age?
At 13 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was rough, and I feel like my life went in a downward spiral from there. After that, it was very hard to make any right choices.
So what'd you do? How'd you do it?
In regards to...
Making choices.
I just went off of what I had already known. And so, like I said, my decision-making skills weren't the best. And so by the time I was 14... I had met a man who was 11 years older than me. He also promised to protect and provide for me. He told me that he was different, that I didn't have anything to worry about. And at first, you know, things are great. He wined and dined me. He bought me really nice clothes. He did take care of me. But 3 months later, I found out that I was pregnant, and that's when things began to change.
And that was what age?
I was 14.
Wow.
Yeah, he was 25. And so after finding out I was pregnant, that's when it just kind of dawned on me that I was getting myself involved with an abusive alcoholic who pretty much just wanted to exploit me and use me. So that went on for about 4 years. 4 years of me, you know, being abused and mistreated and lied to and coerced into doing things that I did not want to do.
How were you able to live through that, make that transition and do that? How were you able to force yourself to stay up with that?
So I knew that I didn't have any other choice. There was no family that I could turn to. There was no friends that could help me. And so I just felt stuck. So I felt obligated to stay in my situation and make it right, whatever that looked like.
And what was that?
That was being there and taking care of my children and just pretty much whatever he wanted me to do. It was a time where I felt really stuck. And so that's the only choice that I had.
How did you manage to live through being stuck?
So that comes a little bit later.
Okay.
At 17 years old, I found myself with three children. And
three children at 17?
Three children at 17.
You hadn't graduated high school yet?
No, I had not.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Right. And so by the time I turned 18, I had just knew that I had enough. I was sick of beer being poured on my head for speaking out of turn. I was sick of being beat with belts because I would tell him to pick on someone his own age.
Oh boy.
And I knew that I wanted a better life for my children. Mm-hmm. And being a mother, I had to be the one to make that decision.
Wow.
So at 18 years old, I moved from the Bay Area out of his house and I got my own apartment.
At 18?
At 18.
Without graduating, what kind of job did you hold?
I did not hold a job.
Wow.
The life of prostitution was my means to provide for myself and my family.
So you were working, but you were working not really a job. But
right.
You were getting paid that way then.
Right.
Wow.
And so once I moved to Sacramento, he actually ended up following me. And things didn't go well.
Was he like a stalker?
He wasn't necessarily a stalker. He was just good at kind of keeping that hold on me.
Mm.
I did still love him. He was the only thing that I had ever known. And so
like the devil puts his hand on you, won't let you go.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And so about a week after moving, one day he tried to drag me in the room to beat me so that my kids didn't see it. And at that point, I had had enough. So I ran outside, and that's when he proceeded to chase me and throw me against the wall and choke me.
Wow.
Luckily, my manager lived next door, and he was able to contact law enforcement. But by the time they had got there, I had pretended like nothing happened. I told them that I didn't, know what he was talking about. And the thing with that is I wanted to get away from my abuser. I didn't want to see him wind up in prison.
Hmm.
And so after that situation, I received a notice about 3 days later to move.
Hmm.
And so once again, here I am, 18 years old, three children. Stuck once again. I didn't know where to turn, who to turn to, or what to do.
Wow.
And so at that point, I went back to the only thing I knew would make it right, mm-hmm. and that was prostitution.
Wow.
So I called a friend that was currently in Atlanta, Georgia at the time, and he promised to protect me. He said that things are going to be different. He said that I didn't have to worry about anything. And so a week later, I was on the East Coast in Pennsylvania working.
Doing what?
Prostituting.
Again.
Oh, well, you surely did get away. That's a long ways across the country.
So that's all you really knew. There was nothing. So how'd you transfer to something different? No problem. That's all right. Listeners, you're once again listening to Christ Today, KKXX 930 AM, 104.5 FM. Your guest is Brianna Hogden, and she is sharing her life story, how she came from an interesting life out there that some women are going through today. So we were talking about what was the next, after you went to, you said Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
But you were still doing that lifestyle there, so it just followed you pretty much. So when did things change for you to where you got a regular job, or you want to talk about some more stuff before we get to that?
Right. So after about 2 years of traveling the United States and going from city to city, state to state, I felt as though something was missing. I had everything that I had ever wanted, nice cars, nice clothes, a place to call home. But there was still something inside of me that just felt things weren't right. And so it wasn't until I traveled to Nashville, Tennessee, that everything changed.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes.
Wow.
And so it was my first time ever being there. And I found myself having a run-in with an undercover police officer.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I had taken a call and I had went to where they were and was arrested. And it wasn't until that moment that I had realized how unbelievably tired I was.
From the life that you were living.
From the life that I was living. Mm. And so they let me out at about 3 o'clock the next morning. And I had absolutely nothing. No phone, no money, nowhere to go. And I had no idea what I was going to do. So as I was standing there in front of the police station, I feel as though God just told me to call a cab. And in my mind, you know, I had no money, nowhere to go. So calling a cab seemed pretty unrealistic, you know, considering the circumstances. And so a few minutes later, you know, it was just sent me, hey, call the cab. And so I called the cab. I didn't know what I was going to tell him. I honestly had no idea why I had called him, but I knew that I had to. So about 10 minutes later, the cab arrived and I opened the door. And at that moment, I just began to cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. So I got in the cab and he turned around and he said, you deserve so much better than this. You're supposed to be at home with your family. He told me nothing was ever going to go right until I start to walk in my purpose. And I was speechless. I didn't know what to say. So he took me to get food. He took me to a hotel room and he paid for me to stay there for 3 days.
Wow.
He told me that when I was ready to go home back to California, he would drive me to the airport and to just give him a call.
That was like God sending an angel to pull you out of the junk that you were in.
Absolutely.
So what happened then?
It was actually Thanksgiving weekend. And so I spent Thanksgiving alone at the Waffle House. And I just had... Nope, just me. My kids were in California with a babysitter. Okay. And so it just gave me a lot of time to think and be grateful for what I knew that God was working in my life. And so a week after that, I was back in California. I had enrolled in school. I was taking care of my kids. And it was just a time where it was just me and God. I completely left the whole lifestyle and everyone in it. And my primary focus was living the life that God had created me to live. And so a year later, after being home, I met my wonderful husband. He was 21 at the time, no kids, in college, and he literally put everything on hold to come into our lives and be the example that we needed. And today, I'm happily married with 5 children.
How long has it been?
It's been about 5 years now.
Have you been married?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It'll be a year February 14th.
Cool. February 14th, and I'm getting married February the 11th. My birthday's February the 10th.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you get to celebrate Valentine's Day. That's awesome.
Right. We're that's taking awesome. A cruise to Mexico. So wow. I definitely feel like we need that time. See. But, you know, there's been a lot of things that have gone on in my life, and I feel like it's all been God. You know, he gave me this vision at a very young age. And although I didn't truly understand why I was having to go through what I was going through, looking back, I feel as though it molded me into the woman I am today in order to live the life that he created for me to live. And, you know, today I'm in college.
Studying what?
I'm going for psychology. I'm working my dream job. I'm connected to the community. And I've just made a 360 all the way around. And I give all the glory to God, because without him and without him guiding me and, you know, loving me and continuing to be faithful to me, I honestly don't know where I'd be today.
All right. So what have been some of the lessons that you've learned in your life going through going through the stuff that you're going through and the things that you've experienced? What are some of the things that God has taught you or that you've come to recognize about yourself?
Right. I feel the biggest thing that God has taught me was, in order for him to mold us and prepare us for what it is that he has for us to do in life, sometimes it takes him breaking us down and building us back from ground up. And it hurts and it's hard and you feel like you're not going to make it through, but just trusting that, you know, God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do, and living your life in a way that reflects just that. Another lesson I feel like I learned was to just allow God to guide you. You know, even when you're not in the best place, I feel like it's really important to understand that God is always working in the background on your behalf. And if you keep that in mind, it'll be easier going through the hard situations that you see. You don't see any light.
How have you been able to recognize that?
Honestly, just with the things that God has been doing in my life, you know, I made the decision to trust him and to, you know, allow him to guide me. And so in that, my life has pretty much gone exactly how he told me that it would go once I made that decision to follow him. And so honestly, my life in itself has helped me to be able to do that.
And where are you at right now as far as your degree and where you're headed?
So this is my second year. This is my second semester in a row that I have been on the president's honor for getting a 4.0. So I have a few more years left, but I know that I'm going to do it, and it's getting easier and easier. So I'm really excited.
Do it unless Jesus comes back.
Right.
So what gets a person into this kind of lifestyle? How do they get sucked into this? Or what is it that brings a person into this? I mean, we hear a lot about it, trafficking. How do young women like yourself get caught up in that? I mean, you shared your testimony, but how do a lot of young women get caught up in this?
I feel like it has a lot to do with a person missing something. For me, it was not having my mother and father, you know, to teach me right from wrong.
Where were they?
My mother was in and out of prison, and my father was serving a life sentence for attempted murder.
He's still there.
He actually just recently got out 2 years ago after serving 18 and a half years.
Wow.
And so I definitely feel like there's many factors that contribute to this. And at the end of the day, I just feel like it has to do with wanting to feel valued.
And value is important.
Absolutely. And so when we haven't been taught to love ourselves and value ourselves, we allow other people to then validate us. And I feel like when it comes to people who have intentions on exploiting someone or using someone or abusing someone, they create this false hope for the individual on the other side.
And the person automatically bites into it without realizing it, and they end up living a life that they were never meant to live.
Right.
So you experienced quite a bit of an ordeal in your life. Did you see women that were like you that didn't make it or didn't escape or didn't survive? Why don't you share a little bit about that if you can?
Absolutely. So I had this friend named Brianna Garner. We were really close. She was the sweetest girl I had ever met in my life. Unfortunately, she was also in the life. And a year after coming back to California, which was in 2012, I had got a call saying that she had traveled to Chicago and had been shot in the head point blank. And they had never found her killer.
Wow.
And it wasn't until 6 months later that they were able to trace him, you know, trace him and find him and then put him in prison. But to know that, you know, I lost someone that was so close to me, that was living the same lifestyle that I had just came from, it was really difficult. And, you know, with that situation, I'm going to be honest, I was pretty upset. You know, I blamed God. I asked him why he would allow something like this to happen to someone who was so close to me and was such a great person. And I remember a night, and I just heard him speak. He said, "I had to use her as an example to show all of you who are close to her what can happen."
Mm-hmm.
And so after I got my answer, it just it helps me to view life differently. Mm-hmm. And from that point, I just continued to pour into my friends who are still in the lifestyle and kind of use my life as an example of a way to live.
That is a good value, a good thing to understand, because we all interact with people. And I think what you're saying is to show each person has value and show them, tell them, including your children.
Absolutely.
And that's a part of what you're doing these days, I believe, yes?
Yes.
You are doing something that is with other women who are in difficult situations?
I am. So I'm currently an advocate at Catalyst Domestic Violence Services.
And how's that going for you?
It's going amazing. I absolutely love my job.
What do you do exactly?
So I'm an overnight advocate. Mm-hmm. And so I work the graveyard shift. My main obligation is to answer the crisis hotline, mm-hmm. Which is 24 hours. And so my role is at the confidential shelter. And so I interact with participants.
Who calls in and why do they call in?
We have lots of people call in. It's geared around domestic violence. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have the victim calling. Sometimes it's law enforcement needing us to come pick up a participant mm-hmm. who needs immediate shelter. And sometimes we have abusers call acting as the victims.
Yeah. Does that happen more than a little bit, or is it just very rare?
It's for me, it's yeah. rare, but I have had those couple of phone calls funny. Where I just knew that there just what wasn't, you know, something wasn't right.
How does yeah. the abuser call in acting like a victim? What do you mean?
Right. And so sometimes it could be an abuser trying to figure out if their partner or ex-partner is currently located at the shelter. Or it could be... I just got a call from the victim, and shortly after, the abuser called asking questions as to kind of what we offer, what we will provide, and kind of just trying to get an idea of what's going on their partner's side mm-hmm. so that they can maybe intervene or stop them from getting help or what have you.
What were some of the questions that you might have had or some of the frustrations that you had at God or... areas in your life that you were upset at God because of this life that you felt you were given unfairly? What was some of the hurt that you dealt with, and how'd you deal with it between you and God?
Right. And so there was a lot of hurt, and it came to the point to where I wanted to have nothing to do with God. Mm. I felt like he betrayed me. I felt like if he really loved me and he wanted me to do well in life, then he would have made sure that I had two parents in my home mm-hmm. that loved me and cared for me and could cultivate my talents and mold me in to be the strong, powerful woman that I had always seen myself being. And, you know, when I didn't have that, I blamed him. I felt like he didn't care about me. I felt like he left me. I felt like I just wasn't important.
And so you felt like God viewed you that way too?
Absolutely.
So how did you get to the point where you could come to a God that you had a hard time looking at, loving you and seeing you as valuable? What brought you to that point? What really got a hold of you to bring you to that point? I mean, I know you mentioned the cab driver talking to you about Jesus, mm-hmm. but what really brought you to the point of even accepting someone that you felt had done you wrong?
Right. And so that came from a place where there were many, many situations that could have been life or death. Mm-hmm. There were many situations where I had no one to turn to and no one to call and no one to save me. And it seemed like each and every one of those situations, something miraculous happened. Either I had a stranger stop and help me without me having to ask. Mm-hmm. There was a change of heart in the person who was trying to hurt me. To the point to where they just walked away. And so I feel like it was those little situations where it seemed impossible that I guess help became just just there without me asking, without me having to reach out or anything. It just, there was something always there to kind of save me and get me out of those really hard situations. And at the time, I couldn't chalk it up to anything but God.
So has God healed your relationship with your mom to this moment? Or is your relationship with your mom still one that needs to be fixed? Or where's your relationship with your mother at this moment?
So I definitely feel as though my relationship with my mother has gotten better over the years. Mm-hmm. We are still currently, you know, battling. She's a user, and she just relapsed after 8 years, and mm-hmm. her life has just been, you know, going downhill. And so there definitely is some disappointment. But I love my mom, and I mm-hmm. want her to do well, and I'm there for her. And whatever it is that I can do for her, I'm 100% willing to do. I feel as though God is leading me down a path to where I have to be the example even for my own mother.
I'm going to get into a topic now that's going to be a little interesting. But you and I talked on the phone last Friday, the very first time I met you. And you mentioned that you have a hard time with church.
Right.
Why?
That's a good question.
Listeners kind of need to know what the issue is. Is it because you feel judged by some of the people in the church because of your lifestyle, that they look down at you? And talk a little bit about that.
Right. And so that was the biggest portion of me feeling like, you know, church was just a place where I didn't really enjoy going. There was a time where I would drive from Oroville to Sacramento every single Sunday just to attend church. After kind of being at different churches and feeling like I was being ridiculed or people were looking at me differently, I kind of took a break from it. Mm-hmm. And so transitioning back into getting into church, I feel as though I need to feel the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's just not something that, you know, I experienced with a few of the churches that I had gone to. And, you know, there's been times where I tried to trick myself into believing that, you know, as long as I live a good life and I bring hope to the world, church isn't really something that I have to go to. I can, you know, pray with my family and we can talk about God. But really, that connection is really, really important, and it's necessary in order to be covered. And I feel as though, you know, I have to make that choice to find a church that my family and I can go to and to just have that connection, because in all reality, it's that connection that's going to keep me afloat.
And the churches have been rare to find. Are there several of them, or is there only one?
So there's only been one church that I absolutely love to go to, but unfortunately, it's in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. So I've been to a few churches in Oroville. They're nice, you know, they're nice, but they're just different from what I'm used to. And as I mentioned before, you know, feeling connected and, you know, actually feeling the presence of the Lord is really, really important to me. Mm-hmm. And being that I haven't found that yet, it's just kind of hindered me from getting fed the way that I know I need to be.
So how are you making it in your spiritual journey without church? What are some of the things that you're doing to make it in your walk daily with Christ? What are some of the things that, not that you have to do things, because that's works, but what are some of the things that you fill your life with since you can't go to church? What are some of the ways that you find that you have your fellowship with God?
Right. And so it's mainly just praying to him throughout the day and just talking to him throughout the day. Another thing is I love to read. And so I read my devotionals and I listen to seminars from various missionaries and things like that. But to be perfectly honest with you, it's been okay, but it's been nothing like being connected to those who love God just as much as you do. And having that comfortability to be able to praise him the way that I would like to. It's different when it's in your home, because you make excuses and, you know, you can, oh, I didn't read today. That's okay. I'll just read tomorrow. And that never happens. And so I definitely feel like there's going to come a time in my life where things are just going to kind of be put on hold until I can find that connection. Because at the end of the day, I don't have enough strength to keep going on my own. And so I feel like it's important to be around like-minded people and to kind of view their perspectives and just on life and family and God and, you know, in general. And so that's my next big goal, is truly finding a church that I enjoy going to and making that my home.
And how do you expect, how do you plan to do that?
Honestly, at this point, prayer. That's all I can do. I've tried, you know, all that I can on my own. Mm-hmm. And being that that hasn't worked, I have to just allow God to guide me to where it is that he wants me to be.
Well, I think he gives us choices and allows us to find places. So I talked to you last week. So are you looking at some of the places I told you last week? Or?
So, yeah, that's actually been a barrier as well. Like I mentioned before, I'm the overnight advocate at Catalyst.
That makes, yeah, makes it hard.
Right, but it's not an excuse. No. So I'm thinking that I will jump in by attending, you know, night service, whether it's in Chico or in Orrville. Mm-hmm. But I haven't had a chance to go to any of the churches you recommended.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How do you plan on taking your testimony and ministering to women that are going through the same thing? What, how do you see yourself being able to be a help and a hope to other women that are going through this?
Right. And so the way that I view that is, you know, I've been through a lot, you know, but the difference between me and a lot of people is I survived. I was able to rise above my circumstances, and I feel as though God has equipped me with the knowledge and experience and hope that so many other women need. I have a heart and a passion for women. And so I think that that makes it much more easier to kind of, you know, minister to the woman at the bus stop who's all alone, or minister to the girl who is skipping school and, you know, knows that they're not supposed to be at Starbucks at noon, but they are. And so I just find little situations like that that I can take advantage of. And really, God doesn't have a problem with telling me when someone needs to be ministered to. So it's at random moments, he'll tell me to go hug this person or go give this person money or, you know, give this person a ride. And so it's just little things like that that have grown into big things, like being asked to come speak on your radio show and being asked to go present at group homes for girls.
And you're doing that?
I am.
Does Hollywood play into this? I mean, does the way that Hollywood does movies and does presentations and showings, does that play into a lot of what's going on with these girls today? Does that have an influence on them?
Absolutely.
How?
I definitely feel the media, you know, depicts this, you know, lifestyle to just be so glamorous, and you can kind of be your own boss and have whatever it is that you want and be so much better than everyone else. But in reality, the psychological effects that comes with it is nowhere near worth it. And so I definitely feel the media and Hollywood has, you know, painted this picture for our youth especially to believe that there's just so much better out there. And it comes with, you know, allowing someone to use you and being exploited and kind of coerced into doing all of these things that they say are okay, but they're also not telling you what comes with it. And so I definitely think it's a picture that, you know, our youth and women in general can kind of get caught up in without really truly understanding the underlying issues that come with it.
Say there's a lady out there listening right now, and she's got someone in this lifestyle that she knows. How can she benefit, or not benefit, how can she be a help to that daughter or that niece or that granddaughter that maybe going through this, or maybe a friend is going through this? How can someone be a help to someone in this kind of a situation?
Right. And so for those of you who are currently experiencing this, or you know someone who is, I would just really encourage you to pray for this person. I would encourage you to make yourself available for this person. And really show this person that you care about them, that they are important to you, and that you're willing to sacrifice in order to make sure that this person is living the life that they deserve. Oftentimes, youth kind of look at adults and people in their lives as, you know, you're just trying to tell me what to do. And, you know, you don't really know what I'm going through. And so with that mindset, it's kind of hard to tell them what they should and should not be doing. So I just really feel like modeling healthy behavior and healthy communication and really getting them to understand that they do have someone who is for them and that cares about them. And again, just making yourself available for that person to talk to without judging them. They want to feel heard. And I think that that's a really important thing for anyone to do is just to listen.
Now, in your life, when you were going through this and the situations and you had these kids, did you ever think about abortion?
Oh, definitely.
So what kept you from that?
It's actually a really funny story. I was about 4 months pregnant with my twin boys now. I didn't know that they were twins at the time. And my kids' father was an alcoholic. He drank all day, every day. And I just got tired. And so one day he was drunk and I told him, hey, like, if you don't stop drinking, I'm taking my daughter. I'm going to get an abortion and you will never see us again in our life. And, you know, I put that out there and it was so extreme because I didn't want any more kids and I wanted to leave. And so that was my way of ensuring that I didn't have to go through with my pregnancy. But the funny thing is, he stopped drinking that very next day.
Wow.
He stopped. Cold turkey just stopped.
Wow.
And that lasted up until I had my twin boys. Mm. And so that was honestly the only reason why they're here today is because miraculously,
God had his hand in that.
God had his hand in that and he had other plans. My boys were supposed to be here.
Did that guy come to the Lord or is that guy out there and drinking again or what happened to him?
Yeah, no. He has not come to the Lord. He's 36 years old, still drinking and doing drugs, and he hasn't really made too much of his life.
What? It gets me in my heart questioning, what causes a person to want to turn to that lifestyle? What causes a person to want to be sucked into that stuff? Especially prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
There were other things that you could have done. And there were other ways that you could have lived your life.
Right.
Why did you choose that path?
So I feel like I was kind of forced into it. After meeting those guys who promised to protect me and provide for me, I didn't go into it thinking, oh yeah, like this is a perfect opportunity to go sell my body for money. But after that traumatic experience of being forced into it and told that I would be killed or beaten if I tried to run. Okay. Exactly. Okay. And so after that, you know, it wasn't like, oh, I enjoyed that. I felt disgusting. I felt like I didn't want to live anymore. It was just a lot of negativity around it. And so after I found myself in a really hard situation again, that's kind of something that I viewed as an outlet, a way to get out, a way to make things better. I had already did it once, so I can do it again and I'll be just fine. Mm. And so for me, it was being forced into it. And again, I continued to do that because that's all I could turn to. There wasn't, in my mind, making as much money as I made by doing that. There wasn't a job that could offer me that. There wasn't another lifestyle outside of that that could offer me, you know, what prostitution did.
And what do you think the number one thing that prostitution offered you inwardly, not outwardly, but inwardly? What did it do for you inwardly?
It destroyed me.
Okay. So there was no hope or peace that was what I would call fake that you felt at the time that you were going through this. Because some people say, well, you know, I'm happy. I've heard on talk shows, I'm happier. It makes me feel good. That wasn't going on with you at all. It was really just destroying you inside.
Not at all. And to everyone on the outside, of course, you know, that was that cliche. Yeah. You know, I chose this life. This is what I want to do. This is what makes me happy.
Yeah.
But it was all a front. so that they wouldn't see how badly I was being destroyed on the inside. I felt obligated to uphold this image for those around me, so they, you know, didn't know that I was struggling and didn't know that, you know, I really didn't want to be doing this. Mm-hmm. But since I was already here, I might as well continue to do it.
So you would, I'd say, went from having no peace to knowing peace, coming to know God.
Absolutely.
And have you had struggles with trusting God because of some of the things that you went through in your life? Or
honestly, at this point in my life, I can say no.
Okay.
God has showed up in so many different ways in my life since, you know, leaving that lifestyle, that I'd be crazy to think that, you know, he's not there and working on my behalf, even during my difficult times.
Did he put mentors in your life to help you when you came to him?
He absolutely did. He absolutely did. And I'm so grateful for it. Even to this day, we're very close and talking about working together and things like that. I would like to travel the world and speak to, you know, women all around the globe just about my experiences.
Don't you have any questions?
I think it's pretty interesting that Hollywood plays a part in this.
Yeah,
where you're saying that there's an example. Hollywood has showed us, all of us, that there's an example that is a benefit, and to live that way is good.
Absolutely.
But you're saying that that's not good.
Nope.
Yeah. The Hollywood examples, they're showing a life of, well, when there's a life of this kind of depravity, that it's showing that the rewards are worth the payment, and that's not true.
Right. I don't think that that's true at all.
But that is something that is a lesson that you see, and so other women have to see this too.
Right.
With other women, when you deal with other women, it must be... your experience has been able to reach into their understanding and compassion, and you must make a really nice connection with the people who are hurting.
Absolutely. I feel like I relate to most, even if it's not, you know, prostitution that we're speaking about.
Uh-huh.
You know, I feel like there's so many other areas in my life that I can kind of put out a new perspective for someone to just think about, you know, provoke thought. And so I feel like I've used that more so than anything as a tactic to kind of build that trustworthy relationship with those, mm-hmm. only because I know that, you know, my story and my experiences will impact them in a way that they feel as though they can keep going in life despite mm-hmm. what it is that they're going through or what they have been through.
And this is from a number of difficulties that a woman could experience in life.
Right.
And we are focusing on women today for this part. Certainly men have difficulties too, but right now we're talking about women and their difficulties.
Right.
And you're reaching out to those women and making a connection and leading them to a healthier place.
I am.
Yeah. So with that healthier place, do you also tell them about your journey with God and how he has been a part of the journey?
Every chance I get. There's no way at all I could ever even begin to take any of the credit for everything that's gone on in my life. Wow. You know, the interesting thing is, you know, when I was first coming out of the lifestyle, I would have friends of mine who were still living it ask me, like, hey, like, how did you get out? Like, how did you do it? And I would tell them it wasn't me. Like, if it was solely up to me, I'd probably still be there in doing it. And so I tell him, it's God. It's God. He picked me up and he placed me right where he wanted me to be. And ever since then, I just haven't looked back.
And would you say that your open heart to seek understanding, to seek God, to seek a relationship with the Creator, your Creator and the Creator of the universe was a part of it?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now, you know, being that I have been through everything I've been through and seeing how far he's brought me, I have no choice but to trust him. I tried doing things my way, and I seen where they got me. And so ever since then, I've just allowed him to take me wherever it is he wants me to go, and I just say yes.
Yes, that's a big one. I think so many of us have had that experience, and we have it in different ways, and that's how the whole of life is, as we seek understanding, we relate to people, and it's always different people we relate to. Go ahead.
Did you not tell me on the phone, maybe I'm mistaken, did you not tell me on the phone that you've been in and out of jail?
So, yeah, I was in jail a couple of times. My first time was in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and I served a week. I was picked up for soliciting prostitution. And then in Nashville, Tennessee, was my second time being arrested.
You would think that God would have gotten to you in one of those type of situations, but there was that wasn't the occurrence.
Right.
Was there any thinking at that time when you were in those situations that maybe this isn't good, maybe I need to get out of this?
I'm sure the thought crossed my mind, but at that time I wasn't open to really hearing from God. It was solely me making my own choices and kind of viewing things how I wanted to view them. Mm. And so for me at the time, jail wasn't that big of a deal. You know, I'll have everything I need when I get out. You know, it's just a few days. You know, there's nothing to really worry about.
But one thing that came out of this that sounds like a good thing was your kids. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your kids?
Absolutely. My kids are my joy. They are how I keep going every single day. I have a beautiful daughter who's 8 years old, who has been there from the very beginning, the very start of everything. And she's been so strong, you know, this whole time. And I kind of look at her sometimes and I see so much of myself in her. Mm. That I have to really make sure that I'm really cultivating her talents and being that role model that she can look up to despite what I've been in the past. My kids don't know about, you know, the lifestyle I lived before. I would like to open up that conversation later on in life where they can understand. But as for now, you know, even for my twin boys who are 7, you know, I just want to be the example. I want to model, you know, healthy behaviors and making good choices. And I want to see them. I want them to see me, you know, go through life and doing what I have to do in order to rise above. And, you know, I want them to see me work hard in order to be successful and to graduate college. And, you know, these are all things that don't run in my family. Yeah. And so for my children, this will be me being their hero because they don't have anyone else to look up to besides my husband and I.
Make sure that they're just looking to you as their hero and not their God.
Absolutely.
Because I think you were looking to your family. You were trying to look for somebody that you could really believe in. And because you had nobody to believe in, you were forced to believe in yourself and you let yourself down instead of looking to God.
Right.
Is there anybody in your family that you think was praying for you while you were living this life?
I could definitely say my grandmother. She's the only person that comes to mind when I think had a hand in, you know, me just coming back. She's prayed for her grandchildren since we were, you know, this high. So, yeah, I definitely feel like her prayers were heard and answered.
And you knew that at the time that she was praying for you?
No. Looking back, it had to have been. And, you know, I sometimes call her up and share some of my experiences with her. And, you know, her answer is, you know, I've been praying for you guys for years that you guys would just come to the Lord and allow him to guide you. And so with that, I know that, you know, the whole time she was praying for all of us.
I'm sure there's something on your heart that you want to share. So if there's anything else that you want to talk, feel free to talk for a few minutes.
Okay. I definitely feel like I could not have done this alone. And it was my faith that carried me through. There's been so many, you know, just situations where I felt I wasn't going to make it. And just by the grace of God, there was someone that he placed in my life, or, you know, had a stranger come up and tell me a word from him. It was those little things that carried me through. It helped me to see that, you know, although I may not have been able to feel him in those moments, that he was always there. And based on where he's taking me, you know, through life in just a short amount of time, I know that that is exactly what the case was. I feel like as youths, we kind of, nowadays, we don't really have, you know, the two-parent household where we feel completely loved and validated and valued. And it's really sad, you know, not having, you know, those adults that we can aspire to be like and can look up to and look for answers and making these choices that, you know, we just don't know how to make yet. And so I definitely feel like it's important to find that one person or two people in your life that you feel comfortable talking to, that you can call them up if you ever feel strange about a situation or you're going through something that you, you know, don't really know how to deal with on your own. I would definitely just encourage you to look to those people that have showed you that you can trust them and believe them. Believe what it is that they're telling you. You know, they're not trying to get you to do the wrong thing or tell you how to live your life. But in reality, us as adults, we've been through just a little bit more. And so having those individuals to kind of, you know, allow them to just speak to you in those moments that matter.
Three things I've noticed that, you know, you're speaking to us and the audience and I'm looking for positive things. So I see one thing is wanting to, you show a younger person especially that they have value.
Right.
That's one thing. And to support that so they're not exploited in life. So that's one thing. The value and model healthy behavior is another key point that you're talking about.
Right.
And the third one is prayer. Those are all the three things.
Definitely. Prayer is so important. It's so powerful.
It's key.
So very powerful. Without prayer, I can't tell you. I probably wouldn't be where I am today. We sometimes look at prayer as, you know, this burden or maybe like it's not being heard or it's just this cliche thing to do. But in all actuality, it's going to be what takes you higher. It's going to be what takes you, you know, to places you've only imagined.
Mm-hmm. With the relationship with God, the creator of the universe, yes.
Mm. That's true. That's how I got into doing the radio show was through prayer. Mm. So what do you feel is next?
For me, I feel like there's so many more things that God wants me to do. Just at this moment, I'm just trying not to get beside myself. I just really want to allow God to continue to guide me. You know, I don't want to make the wrong choices. I don't want to end up in the wrong spot. You know, I want to be exactly where it is that God wants me to be. And so that's my main focus right now is just, you know, having that close relationship with Him and allowing Him to tell me what's next.
Do you have any glimpse of what's next?
Absolutely. So back in 2012, I had taken one of my really close friends to a Joyce Meyer convention. It was three days Joyce long Meyer's. In San Jose. Awesome. Excuse me.
No, it's all right.
And so the third night, you know, it was amazing. You know, I was feeling the spirit and we were praising God together. And so the very last day, I was like, hey, God, like, I appreciate you for allowing me to be here. Like, it was amazing. It was awesome. But, like, why did you really bring me here? Like, there's something that it is that you want me to know. And so all of a sudden, I just felt this really great presence. And he had me to stand up. And he was like, look around. And there was thousands and thousands of people there. He was like, you see that lady up there on stage? He's like, that's going to be you. And I just began to cry and I was like hyperventilating. And he's like, I've been trying to tell you, you know, I've told you over and over and over again, but I wanted to bring you here to show you with your own two eyes what it is that I have for you, as long as you continue to trust me and let me guide you and be obedient. And so that right there, that's been my mission ever since. I've just kind of enthralled myself into, you know, different endeavors that can lead me closer to that. But that is my end goal. That is my end destination, to travel the globe and speak to millions and millions of people. So I know that that it's going to happen. It's just me taking these steps in the meantime.
And the Bible says, don't despise small beginnings.
Absolutely.
And you being on the radio show today, who knows how many people you're touching. So that's part
that's
of
right.
Because once again, we don't know when the Lord's coming.
Right.
And if you can just touch one person, it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Don't focus on the number. It's only worth touching one person, then you've done your job.
Yes.
And it's not you that does the job. It's Christ that gets the job done through you.
Yes.
But your prayer life and your obedience to the Lord and your love for God or for others will be what opens the door for them to want to know what you came from and why, how they can have what you have in your life. That's your testimony. That's your witness.
Yes.
So I want to thank you for coming on the air today and sharing your, coming to the radio show, coming on the air and sharing your testimony. I want to thank you, because a lot of women out there might not find themselves brave enough or bold enough to come and share like you did, but you're allowing God to use your voice as a testimony. And the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb in our testimony. So your speaking here today has been very powerful. And I want to thank you and say, may the Lord bless you. And so we're going to put this show to an end until next week. I want everybody to know next week is Thanksgiving. So have a happy Thanksgiving next week. We will be praying for next week that everything goes smooth and safe in our country and that we all have a great Thanksgiving. We'll be back on the air again. And I also want to let my listeners out there know that this show is going to soon be coming to an end due to guests, due to finances. This show will be coming to an end very soon. It's been 2 years that we've been on the air, but we are coming to an end. But I want to bring some more shows at you before we come to an end. So it looks like we'll be coming to an end in December, right around the new year. So anyways, I want to thank all the guests that I've had. If they're out there listening, thank them for being on my program. And I want to thank the guest today, Brianna. She's been excellent. Awesome. Don't you think, John?
Yeah.
Thank you guys for having me. Yeah. It was an honor.
And I'm just going to say a quick prayer out. Lord, we just pray for any listener out there that's listening, that has somebody in this lifestyle, God, that they could be a witness to them. We pray that you'd reach down and touch every woman out there that's going through this, that needs hope, needs an answer, needs help, needs to have their eyes open and their heart open to what's going on, that they would be open to you and that they might come to know you. Because we know time is short. We know you're coming soon. And we just pray that you'd reach the women out there that are lost in this lifestyle, God. And we thank you for what you did in Brianna's life. And just pray that you would give people out there that are in the church and families and people that come across these people, give them compassion and love, Lord, that they're not judging these people, because, Lord, they could have been one of these people without your grace and without your love. And
yes,
Lord, I thank you, God, that it's just not a person, it's your person. And that you're not done with Brianna, that you still have great things in store for her until you come. So Lord, we thank you for this day and praise you for this day. In your name, Lord, we pray. Just bless our listeners. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.